Okay. Hare Krishna, we're in Finland. And we're going to be chanting in a program, home program. Everybody wave. Very nice. Okay, now it's on me. I have a tripod that holds it, but I just can't find the pieces to it right now. Ready?
It's two.
Two. Gopinath's a professional. He travels all around the world, playing for famous bands.
The teasing has started.
Pastime. It's
yeah.
A little pastime.
Let's see where we get to.
Okay, you ready? What song should we chant? Okay, let's chant. It's a very simple melody. He used to play with the Rolling Stones. With Jagger.
They got old, he still stays the same. Definitely young.
Snow.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Watching us from Australia, Prajabandhu from Mexico, Manoj Mishra from, I think, from India, Kishori from Australia. So we got an international crew. Siddharma from the United States, Radha Madhava from Germany, probably. It's probably that Radha Madhava. Okay. Oh, you can put us online too. Okay, let's chant something else. No, it wasn't loud enough. Are we disturbing the neighbors, Nandra?
I think that is, you know, good if you keep it like that.
Okay.
So.
You gotta get a friendly space.
Karatas are the worst thing in the pond, but guitar is quite nice.
What's that?
I said karatas are the worst thing in the pond, because they are really going through all the
They go through everything. So what should we chant now?
Hanuman.
We should have someone hold the camera who wants a volunteer. Okay, let me put it. But just don't touch the finish button. Even though you're in Finland, don't touch the finish button.
Okay.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Bol Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Padita Pavana Sitaram Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
So one more song and then we can speak a little bit. Do you know Nitaiko Radha Shyam? Jai Krishna
Bhavanam?
No, try me. Try you. This is an English song I wrote. You remember that song, right? You played it with me. Didn't you? By Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had to deal at a particular point, as did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, with a deviant Vaishnava group. And that group chanted this bogus mantra, Vaja Ditai Gaur Radhe Shyam, Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram. Heard about that? That's a bogus mantra. So this group actually was started by, I forget the guy's name, but anyway, he was considered to be an incarnation of Shukracharya. Did you know that? And he was opposed very vehemently by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this particular individual had a large following in Jagannath Puri. When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur opposed him, practically they rioted, the people rioted, tried to kill Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yeah. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to just like send him immediately out of Jagannath Puri because he wouldn't have lost his life. So, and this group also established a temple right next to our Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. So if you ever stay in a guest house, you hear it like all night long. Bhaja Nidaigo Radhe Shyam Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram. Which basically means you shouldn't chant Hare Krishna. you should chant Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam, but Hare Krishna should be chanted just as Japa. In other words, it's a kirtan that says don't chant Hare Krishna in kirtan. Which is really interesting. So I mean, it's really nonsense, according to Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada was so upset with this particular group following in his spiritual master's footsteps that he actually adjusted the Panchatattva Mahamantra. I don't know if any of you know about this. The Panchatattva Mahamantra always used to be Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shivadatta Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. So that we would not be confused with this particular group, Prabhupada changed it to Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya. He didn't change the mantra. The word Jaya or Bhaja is just an introductory word. You can't change mantras. But Prabhupada just changed the introductory word. Instead of Bhaja, which everybody, if you go to the Gaudiya Math, or any of the temples of Gaudiya Math, they always chant Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya. But Prabhupada chanted to Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Someone's watching.
Yeah.
So, Prabhupada at one time said, and this is based on what Prabhupada said, if you want to chant Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam, you have to chant Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam, Jai Krishna Balaram, which are the names of our deities in Vrindavan. Has anyone been to Vrindavan? No?
Yeah.
You've been to Vrindavan?
Yeah.
A few of you. So, I mean, that's obviously, yeah, Gornatai, you have Krishna Balaram Radha Shyam on the right hand side. So Shri Krishna. So Jai Shri Krishna Nitai Gaur Radha Shyam Jai Krishna Balaram. So Prabhupada said that's the name of our deities, you can chant that if you want. So I made up a song based on that. An English song. And the main verse is Nitai Gaur, it goes like this. Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Jai Krishna Balaram. So when I chant that, maybe you can all repeat that. Is that all right? Mm-hmm. You remember that? Or is it too much? It's called the usual, you know. We should practice it for 2 hours. Like that. And I don't think we're gonna be able to repeat the English words because you don't have a copy of them, but
you're saying.
You can just listen to me sing. This is so far from me. In this world, seen everything and everywhere. All one sees is despair.
Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Now it's warm, even though we're in Finland.
You can probably turn, open up the door now.
Se ikkuna tuossa. Joo.
That was nice. So, what we're working on right now with a number of people is English songs to attract people with Krishna consciousness. That's one of them. That was my first one. No, that wasn't my first one.
My first one was actually the Proud Bird song.
You've all heard the Proud Bird? Watch out. This is falling down. Yeah. You don't want it to fall down. Anyway. I wrote a song about Prabhupada that was quite popular. Maybe you heard that one.
Well, maybe you could sing that also.
I don't have the words written down to it. I mean, I have it on my computer. But it's a little more complex. It's on my album. So, I was thinking of why devotees... Actually, I'm going to go for Vedas Prabhupada first. I was actually thinking of why devotees, when they first join the Hare Krishna movement, they're pretty ecstatic. And then after some time, the ecstasy goes away. Where's all the ecstasy gone? So, and there's many reasons. I mean, some people say it's because of offenses, but generally, I'm thinking it's because devotees pay less and less attention to what they're doing as time goes on. Because, you know, you do the same thing every day. It becomes, what, routine. It becomes a ritual. And then you keep doing the same thing. And you put yourself on what we call automatic. I've been giving a lot of class about this recently. Like, you know, I gave the example the other day in the class about pilots who put their plane on automatic pilot. And they overshot the city by 200 miles. And they lost their jobs. So we tend to put our devotional service on automatic pilot. And of course, according to Rupa Goswami, that's called Niyamagraha. Anyone's heard that word before? Rupa Goswami gives different ways that we can deviate from devotional service. In the Upadeshamriti, he says, Achahara Prayasa Chapa Chapa Niyamagraha. Jana Sangasa Layam Cha Sabir Bhaktir Vinashati. He says there's different ways. He has basically six, but actually there's seven. He says, by eating too much, collecting too much, over endeavoring, talking unnecessary things about material world associated with the modes of nature, or not following the rules, or following the rules but putting yourself on automatic pilot. He doesn't use the word automatic. You just use for not, you know, just automatically or unconsciously, or associating with those who are adverse to devotional service. That's called Janasangas, or hankering for mundane things. He gives these six, which become seven because the word Niyamagraha can be pronounced Niyamagraha, Niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means basically giving up the practice of devotional service. And Niyamagraha means doing them, but not thinking of what you're doing when you're doing. And so we tend, and I think every religious person does, it's not just a criticism of devotees in the Hare Krishna movement, I think it's a tendency of, in any walk of life, not only religious life, but in any occupation, you just start doing things automatically. Like, I mean, sometimes it's good to do things automatically. Like when you're driving a car, it's actually good to put on the brakes without having to think about it first. That's my experience. Because, you know, someone comes in front of you and you don't think about it. It's automatic. You put on the brakes, you don't slam into them. That's actually a good thing. And it's also good to chant Hare Krishna when you're in a dangerous situation. I was in a car with someone in Australia, and he was saying, why do you chant Hare Krishna every time there's a dangerous situation? Here's a devotee. And I said, isn't that a good idea? Because, you know, he was driving, and every time he did something wrong or someone came at a different angle towards us, then I'd go, Hare Krishna. He said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "There's nothing wrong. It's automatic." So it's good to be automatic like that without thinking. But in our sadhana process, we become, and speaking for myself, I mean, many of us have become very automatic in, you know, chanting our rounds. Chanting our rounds and actually doing any of the things we do. Many of us don't think of what we're doing while we're doing it. Like how many of us, when we say the prasadam prayer, are actually thinking of what the meaning of the prasadam prayer is. I mean, as I've been going around the world, I do a poll. I ask the devotees, you know, who knows the meaning of the prasadam prayer? And it's like 20%, which is pretty interesting. Because everyone's saying that prayer more often than any other prayer that they've ever said, right? Because they eat, you know, you have to say it 3 times a day or 2 times a day. And hardly anyone knows, you know, the 2 parts of the prasadam prayer. Mahaprasada Ekolpa Te, you know, probably Nalu Brahmani Vaishnavi, or Sarira Vijita. So, and then surprisingly enough, many people don't even know the meaning of Prabhupada's second pranam mantra, which is shocking. It's shocking. I mean, so many people don't know the meaning, plus, even if they do know the meaning, they're not thinking of the meaning while they're doing that particular thing, or they're chanting the Guru Vashtika prayers, or they're... I mean, there's a number of... I mean, we have all sorts of Sanskrit prayers. So what from outside, you know, a new person from outside the movement comes in and thinks, what language are these people speaking? It's kind of bewildering. So that's really a disconnect from Krishna when we don't know what we're doing when we're doing it. And it's not that everyone has to learn Sanskrit, but at least be aware of what you're chanting when you're chanting. And in order to bring new people to Krishna consciousness, then we're working on, with some of our disciples, especially, you know, Sita in Germany, right? Working on, you know, coming up with some English songs so people can actually relate. And that was inspired when I saw this one church. It's called the Hillsong Church. Anyone's heard of the Hillsong Church before? No. You've heard of the Hillsong? Or it's Keshava Madhavas, because I showed them pictures of it. Which has 30,000 people coming every Sunday for their service. 30,000 young Western people. And they're chanting songs and praise and prayers to Jesus Christ, which is nice. And they fill a stadium, you know, like a whole stadium, 30,000 people. That's a lot. And I actually even went to one of their performances, or services, in the case of the performances. I mean, they're equal. Performances and services are equal. And, you know, I was up, you know, with my hands raised, praise the Lord. And it's quite interesting because I was not raised in a Christian family, so it's not that I was reviving my past. Anything like that, but I was caught up in the excitement, and it wasn't against the regulated principles either. Nobody was smoking dope there, but they were, you know, they're praising the servant of Krishna, Jesus Christ. So I was caught up in the excitement and understanding that these people know what they're chanting. And then I observed our Bengali devotees who have so much devotion when they're chanting. And I was thinking, of course they are great devotees because they're born in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place. But I was thinking, they actually know what they're chanting too, when they chant it. And, you know, even people from other parts of India don't know Bengali. And so I was thinking, somehow or other, we have to encourage devotees to think of the meaning of what they're chanting when they're chanting, or what they're doing when they're doing. I mean, like even arti, not only chanting, but like if they're doing arti to the deities, what are you doing? Are you just waving some incense in front of something? That you're offering a scent. So you think of like that. Or when you're offering obeisances, and I really, it takes some control of the mind, but when I offer obeisances to Prabhupada, I try to think, of the meaning of the Prabhupada's pranam mantra. And the interesting thing is when you do that, the devotional service becomes much more ecstatic, really ecstatic. I know that word is misused. You know, ecstatic. You've heard it so many times. That was ecstatic prasadam. That was ecstatic kirtan. That was ecstatic class. That was ecstatic temple. Those were ecstatic deities. You know, the word's been used so many times, in English at least, that it sort of lost its meaning. But you feel really connected. Let's use that word. It's better. And it really goes deep in the heart. Because devotional service is supposed to be executed with the heart. It's not a system of rituals. It's not a system of simply doing things externally. Of course, external things are important because they indicate what's happening internally. But Prabhupada said devotional service is executed with the subtle body. In other words, the most important aspect of devotional service is executed with the heart, knowing what you're doing. And of course, the first rule of devotional service is what? Anyone know? Always remember
Krishna, never forget.
And the second one is never forget Krishna. And that's the mind. That's the heart and the mind, isn't it? So let's say you're just like plugging away doing your devotional service, but you're not remembering Krishna. You're breaking the rules. Not that you're breaking the regular principles, I wouldn't say that. But, you know, you're breaking the first rule. Wow. Because the whole point. And of course Bhagavatam also says, Dharma Swanishtital Punsam Vishwakshina Katasya Notpariyad Yadivratim Shome Ivikavam. It says even if you do everything, you know, all the stuff, I'm just paraphrasing of course, then and you're not developing a taste, you know, a connection for the holy name, Ratiya, for the holy name, then Shome Ivikavam, you're just like spinning your wheels, in other words. You're not making any progress. That's Bhagavatam. So somehow or other, we have to fix Krishna in our mind. Sabhaimana Krishna Vidara Vindayo. And that's important. You do the external activities. I'm not saying to stop that. But be aware of what we're doing when we're doing that. Means everything, like offering obeisances, or even if you're working. We were talking to a group the other day in a city of Richmond, Virginia. Even if you're working a job, just realize you're doing this for Krishna. You're working a job, you're making money, supporting your family, so your family will be taken care of, and you'll be Krishna conscious. So if you think like that, you'll always be connected. So, anyway, that's the message for today. That's the message I've been giving as I go around, because to me it's really important, and I've had so many realizations about it lately. You know, even offering my obeisances becomes like an ecstasy. Instead of just like going down, you know, this is what I have to do. Or chanting my rounds is what I have to do. You know, you're supposed to chant off your bases or else you're committing an offense. But that's not a good motivation. Motivation should be, you know, that I'm offering obeisances, you know, to Srila Prabhupada, who has come to the Western world to actually annihilate impersonalism and voidism. It's interesting. Most people don't know that the word West is there in Prabhupada's second pranam mantra. They say, well, Krishna West. You can't have Krishna and West together. Well, Prabhupada did it. Prabhupada did it in his own pranam. Prabhupada wrote his own pranam mantra because there wasn't anyone else to write his pranam mantra. Paschacchadeshatarni. So anyway, so that... To me, that's really, this has been my meditation lately. You know, how to be connected in whatever I do. And if you listen to Prabhupada, like chanting or doing anything, he's really connected. Prabhupada is never on automatic pilot. It's pretty amazing. I mean, Prabhupada's chanting, like his Vaishnava songs, it's just so deep. Because Prabhupada is connected with what he's doing, rather than being ritualistic. Okay? So anybody have any questions about that? Questions? Comments? No one has questions. It's like India. It's India, nobody has questions. Yes?
When we are chanting, very often our minds start to, you know, wandering there and there. So what you will suggest? Best way to fix in the mantra?
Well, there's several things. Because before we start chanting, then we should have a sankalpa. That means a determination, literally a determination or an intention. We should try to figure out why I'm chanting. And the why should not be, I have to chant. The why should be, I'm choosing to chant because I want, and that you have to fill in the blanks, not me. You know, I want to connect to Krishna, I want to please my spiritual master, I want to pray for some family member, I want to pray for my own spiritual advancement, I want to pray for the world. You know, chanting is a prayer. Pray, you know, the world's pretty crazy right now, so it's a pretty good idea to pray for the world. Or pray for another person, or like Lord Chaitanya says in his Shikshashika, you know, Ayananda Tamuja Kinkaro, that, oh my dear Lord, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow or other I've fallen down. So please fix me up as one of the atoms of lotus feet. So it's like a prayer of hankering. We find the word loyam, which means hankering or intense desire, is used both as a detriment or as a problem in devotional service if one's hankering for material things. And we also find it as the price of pure devotional service if one's hankering for something spiritual. So I think that hankering should be there. Hankering, the crying out. Like my godbrother, Guru Govinda Maharaj, would sometimes say about his ashram in Bhubaneswar, he said he opened up a crying ashram. You know, we should be crying out. Not that we have to just like chant like, crying like that. But we should be crying out for something that's in our heart, something that's dear to us. And then, so we have an intention. And then, as we're chanting, try to remember that intention and beg Krishna. I mean, there's different things, different hints as far as chanting. I mean, just try to be relaxed and concentrate on the holy name, hear the holy name in the mind. One thing that I found helpful is that once in a while to chant one round in the mind, which is interesting. It helps actually focus the mind when you're chanting out loud. Like, you know, now I'm not saying you chant just in your mind. You're supposed to chant out loud with the lips and the tongue. But if you chant one round in your mind, it takes a lot of energy. And then later on, when you're chanting out loud, you're going to be more apt to focus on the sound in the mind. And it takes a lot of practice, you know, bringing back the mind when it keeps wandering. But if you keep remembering the intention, I find that helps. And keep remembering that you're directly dealing with Krishna. But most of us have had the experience when we first joined, we were real attentive in our chanting. And then after some time, it just becomes something we've got to get done to get on with our real life, like eating prasadam. But that, our real life is chanting. Our real life is chanting. So those are my humble suggestions. You know, if there's more suggestions. And this summer we're doing I'm planning a whole seminar on this, you know, being connected to Krishna, being connected to Japa, being connected to Vaishnava songs, being connected to the Bhagavad Gita. Like that, one of the exercises we do is that we take the Bhagavad Gita and we paraphrase, means we write our own Bhagavad Gita. Which actually, you learn the Bhagavad Gita really quickly that way. That's the best study method I've come across, is you take each verse and you write it out in your own words. Not that you're going to publish it, you know. Another Bhagavad Gita, 10,000 Bhagavad Gita's like an Hare Krishna word. But you write it out in your own words. I mean, you look at the word-by-word synonyms as you're doing this in the Gita. And then you just paraphrase it. It's really powerful. And then because when you write something or you teach something, you master it. When you just hear something,
you know, you get about 10%. And then when you practice it, you get a little bit more. But when you preach it, or which is writing actually is part of preaching. And then you actually absorb a lot more of the Gita. So the whole idea is to, you know, just be aware of what we, rather than just hearing, but be able to repeat. It's a type of repeating. So that's one thing. And then we're going to have a very interesting seminar. In Serbia, I do a seminar. We have a summer camp.
When will that be?
That's it's the end of June, beginning of July. It's in Serbia. It's very nice.
Is it a place that visitors could come as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have people from all different countries come. Oh. It's in a place called Fruška Gora, which is in the mountains of Serbia. We have about 200 devotees come. And we have, not just me, I mean, there's other sannyasis and other people come. And we have several days. We have like 10 days of a camp. It's really nice. I mean, it's in the Balkan area, you know, so we get devotees from Poland, some devotees from Slovenia, it's Croatia, Bosnia, and Germany, and Austria. Yeah.
What could be the reasons why one is not connecting? Is it maybe insincerity, or one is not connected to oneself, or
I wouldn't say it's insincerity. It's just that we have to be reminded. I would say that, you know, most of the devotees I know, just about everybody, is sincere. It's just that we need to be reminded. You know, wake up. You know, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, too often we find ourselves like worshiping the deities, offering obeisances, when you offer boga to the deities. I mean, are you really thinking, Krishna, please eat? Or are you just thinking, you know, here's the prayers I got to say? You know, because we're engaged in bhakti yoga. And we forget that. I mean, sometimes it becomes like karma yoga for us. You serve Krishna, but not with the heart. So bhakti yoga means with the heart. I think we just forget. It's called complacency. Like if one is around, let's say even if you're around a very important person, let's say you meet Prabhupada, and you're around Prabhupada, I mean, obviously the first time, second time, third time, you're just nervous as anything. And you don't want to say anything. I mean, that's how I was with Prabhupada, because I didn't spend a lot of time with Prabhupada. Every time I was around Prabhupada, I was just like, oh my God, what am I going to say? You know? But if you're around someone a lot, it's become, you know, I'm not saying that devotees just go up to Prabhupada and say, hey, buddy, you know, hey, Prabhupada, you know, like that. But it is a tendency to take things for granted. Like when you first, or, you know, the example I get sometimes is that, even a material example, let's say you get a child gets a new toy. He's very attentive to it, right? In the beginning, and after a while, puts it just on the floor somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or when adults get a new iPhone or something like that. New computer, isn't it? You know? You know what you said? I thought you liked computers.
Not anymore.
He used to.
I don't like machines so much.
You transcended that.
No. Had to deal with it, so I learned it because it was so unpleasant.
So I mean, just like I was like an iPhone, for example, like just to get a new one, people line up. I don't know if they do that here in Finland, but in other countries they line up for 3 days outside of the iPhone shop. They camp out just to get the newest, latest one, and then, you know, and then a few months later they're camped out to get the next newest, latest. And it's just like they show it off for a few days, and after that it's... So that's called complacency. You actually just get used to something after a while. And you know, another problem with complacency is you're no longer grateful. You understand? you're grateful. I mean, when you first come to Krishna consciousness, oh, wow, it's grateful, it's prasadam, thank you for the prasadam. And after a while, it's just, I deserve my prasadam. You know? You come to the Sunday feast, and you say, I'm taking first, I don't care about those guests. So, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You just forget. I mean, I remember the first time I ate prasadam, it was in 1969. I was just like, wow! Fantastic. Prasadam, you know. It's like having an electric shock. And now it's like, well, time to eat. Isn't it? I mean, it's just become complacent. You're not appreciative anymore. I mean, how often do we thank Krishna, thank Prabhupada? Not very often. It's a problem. It's a problem. That's why we have to keep reminding ourselves. That's what I see. Yeah, because I've been doing the same thing for God knows how many years. And I just have to keep reminding myself, you know, you should be thankful. Why are you complaining?
But could it also be renunciation? Like, you're not so interested of food anymore, or eating anymore.
Yeah, but prasadam I should be interested in. You know, even if it's just a tulsi leaf, I should go, wow. Bingo. No, confirmed. So, yeah, you have a question?
Yeah, kind of back to this chanting and wandering mind. Like sometimes during intense service and you become really absorbed, like sometimes on Prabhupada's marathon, you just take a nap in daytime and you waking up and you've been distributed two books and you've been in the dream.
In the dream, that's great.
You learn new mantras, you know. But then sometimes you chant also, and then you think about the service and like thinking like how to expand service and do better and all this different. And sometimes you're like, is it Lamaya or what we should do?
I think we have to become more dependent on the holy name. And as we're chanting, instead of thinking how to distribute more books, pray to have faith in the holy name. Like Lord Chaitanya gives us the six surrendering principles, and understand the Lord is always maintaining one and protecting one. There are two of them, and it's, in other words, the Lord is always giving you intelligence. If I chant better, I'll have more intelligence how to chant, how to distribute more books. The interesting thing is when you're out there preaching, you know, and giving books out to people and bringing people to Krishna consciousness, it's easy to remember what you're doing, why you're doing it, because you keep saying it. You know, it's easier. That's why, you know, distribution of knowledge is actually, or Krishna consciousness, let's say sharing Krishna consciousness rather than using the word preaching, is actually a very potent way to keep reminding us. Okay, but it's nice to have dreams like that. Yeah. Some of us have dreams like Godzilla or Dracula. Especially when you have disciples, they give you so many nice dreams. You don't have to pay it like going to the horror movies anymore. It's not that bad. Anyway, just teasing. So, basically remember who you're doing it for. Remember when you're out there that your spiritual master is empowering you, Prabhupada is empowering you, feel grateful. Rather than why do I have to do this? Well, thank you very much for letting me do this. There's a whole change in consciousness. Thank you for letting me do whatever you're doing. Let me clean the floor for Krishna. I mean, that's thank you. I mean, how many people are so fortunate to be able to clean Krishna's pots or clean the floor? Practically no one. That's a great fortune. Does anyone have any questions online there?
There's an invitation. Welcome to Fruska.
Welcome to Fruska?
Yeah, somebody wrote.
Which person wrote that?
I don't know.
Well, the name should be there.
Let's see. I missed it. Garuda Bhagavat. Oh, I got people from Croatia now watching, UK watching, Wow, so many people watching. Well, actually, it says only five, but there's actually more because it links to other things.
Oh, you are just awake.
Yeah, some people are sleeping. In Australia, they're sleeping, but there's still some people watching from Australia. And they'll watch later, it's recording, so.
All right, anything else before we take Rashad?
Well, maybe this is too long of a question, but...
That's fine.
I don't want to brag, it just sounds a little bit like that, because when you accepted me as your disciple and then I got your pranam mantra and then I started to use that, then the connection to everything, to Krishna consciousness, to you, to Prabhupada, to Krishna, it just felt like increasing a lot and every time. So I have been using it before I chant, I use it of course when offering poga, and I don't really understand the mechanism, how it works, where does it come from, this connection, when when everything's offered first to spiritual master, and then somehow, could you maybe a little bit talk about that, or reveal a little bit?
Because so, of course, when you're saying the mantra, you're thinking about what it means, or thinking of the connection at least, right?
Yes, indeed.
That's why it's very effective, because the idea is that spiritual things are non-different, whether it's the thought of the spiritual master, or the thought, or the holy name, of course, or the deity. These things are non-different from the object to which they refer. That's the mystery, or not so much mystery, but the science of Krishna consciousness. That whatever, in other words, nama and nami, especially the holy name, Krishna and his name are non-different. So also the thought of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. Or the thought of the spiritual master, the spiritual master's presence is manifest in that thought, or even a dream like that. So there's Krishna empowers, let's say just Krishna empowers it. It's connected to the powerhouse. Just like if you have we call it a plug, but in some places it's called PowerPoint. What do you call when you plug in something in the wall?
Socket.
A socket, you call it socket here, okay. Every country is something different. Well, America also uses electrical socket, but in the UK it's PowerPoint. In America it's generally plug. So when you plug something in, unless it's connected to the powerhouse, then you get no electricity. But if it's connected by the electrician, and Krishna's the expert electrician, you understand the metaphor, then you get electricity, and then your fan runs, your air conditioner runs, or whatever else you have plugged in. That's Krishna's. Krishna's arranged it. He's empowered that connection. And you're connected, see? But when we're thinking of what we're doing, the mantra, especially the pranam mantra, I felt so much more connection to Prabhupada when I'm thinking of what the mantra means when I'm chanting it. I mean, it's really amazing, the difference. It's just like, wow. And you can even, of course, some people are visual. I happen to be visual. You can visualize the connection. You can, like if you think Nirvishesha Shunyavada, you can visualize Prabhupada like preaching to the impersonalists and the voidists. Yeah, that's probably you could visualize Prabhupada's determination to establish that Krishna is a person. Wow. And it is so powerful. When you actually take Krishna consciousness in your mind and your heart, it is so powerful. It's incredibly powerful. It's just like overwhelming. It's been my experience. So, should we take prasadam now? Oh, one more.
But if it's so powerful that it disturbs your mundane life, you can't go on with it anymore.
Isn't that lucky you?
No, because you should have no mundane. The answer is you should have no mundane life. Because your mundane life
your mundane life is being done for Krishna. It's not mundane. So if you're thinking of it as mundane, that means you're not having the right consciousness. It's not mundane. It's not mundane. Why? Prabhupada said working a person who works in the factory is as good as a sannyasi. He's giving the results to Krishna. He's thinking of what he's doing. It's not mundane. You understand? So you know, if you think you have a mundane life, the problem is with you, not with your life. Unless you do have a mundane life, like you're going to the discos at night or something like that. It's hard to figure out how you could engage going to the raves and the discos, you know. Unless you're going there to preach. You know, that may be a mundane life. But generally, you know, you're working a job, it's not a mundane life, it's actually Krishna. Why? There's yukta vairagya. Everything can be engaged in Krishna service. What's mundane?
And there is nothing else except Krishna, Krishna's energies.
And Krishna, yeah. Yeah, the right consciousness, there's nothing mundane.
Yeah.
Vishwam purna shukayate. The whole material world is, you know, Krishna conscious, blissful.
Isavasyam
idamsi. Yeah, kimcha jagajam jagatena chiptena. Everything is only controlled by the Supreme Personality of God, and also yastu sarvani bhutani. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna.
But you might become so ecstatic, people think you are weird.
I have not seen that.
Very obscure examples here. Maharaj, we are so ecstatic. We cannot handle this material life.
We should have that problem.
Help.
I'd like to have to deal with that problem.
Yes.
The difference, what's going inside of you and how much you show externally.
Yeah. I mean, Prabhupada sometimes would manifest so much ecstasy. But he would generally control it.
And he was amongst devotees.
Yeah,
he didn't, you know, when he was in a supermarket, he didn't just... He saw a blue milk carton.
But the supermarket. 3 hours.
I doubt very much. That's an issue. Unless someone has mental illnesses. I mean, once or twice Prabhupada went into ecstasy and went unconscious in the temple room. And Prabhupada said he apologized basically for it. He was feeling so humble. It's just not something that we had. I'm not going to worry about that. It's like worrying that if everybody became Krishna conscious, how would the material world go on? Or if everybody became a brahmachari, how would there be children, you know? It's a worry that's like, it's not going to happen. So that's a
funny thing that you mentioned, because it was first question of my mother when I met devotees and she was worrying about me. What will happen when everybody in the world would become devotee?
Yeah.
And she was... That was the first worry. Everybody would stop working the other day. And it would just collapse.
The same question.
Yeah, and what do you say?
Said that this would be a very happy place.
Yeah, the material world will become the spiritual world, but it's not going to happen. I mean, it's just a completely impractical thing. What happens? What if everyone becomes a spiritual world? What if everyone takes sannyas? Questions like that are just like, it ain't going to happen. But if it did, it wouldn't be a bad idea. Then Krishna would provide everything. You know, nityam, nityanam, chaitanam, chaitanam. No, Krishna provides everything to everybody. I mean, even Jesus Christ said that too. About the lilies in the field, you know, they quote. You know, Jesus Christ said, you know, who's providing, basically I'm paraphrasing, who's providing the clothes for the lilies in the field that are dressed so nicely? You know, the lilies and flowers in the field, who is making the clothes for them? Yeah, so we wouldn't have to worry, we don't have to worry about that. We always should take prasad now, right?
Yeah. Okay. Say the mantra with feeling.
I'll say it in English. Oh Lord, this material body is a place of ignorance, and the senses are a network of paths leading to death, and all the senses of the tongue is the most voracious, uncontrollable. But you, Lord Krishna, are so very kind to us. You've given us the prasadam, Bhagavat prasadam, to help us control the tongue. So now let us take this prasadam and in love call out for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to please help us. Chaitanya Nitya.